conversation by Nagarjuna to Buddha Shakyamuni in his text, the verses from the Santa or root wisdom. So in the history of mankind, in order to fulfill the wishes and the desire of the human beings, when it comes to a point whereby the human beings cannot have any kind of means or ways to really fulfill that desire, and then and it comes to a point whereby when they have a kind of trust or a kind of faith in some transcendental events or transcendental agents, so they then, the human beings, they feel a little bit more confident and more relieved. And then from a Buddhist perspective, or from the point of view of a Buddhist practitioner, so from the point of view of a Buddhist practitioner, they come across a time whereby a specific person or individual would arrive at a situation whereby his mind is kind of ripened to really understand the concept of Four Noble Truths. And then the next stage is that the Buddha Shakyamuni had been actually engaged in all kinds of, in varieties of Bodhisattvas' great deals and actions in many past lifetimes. And then eventually, in this lifetime, in this very lifetime of the Buddha Shakyamuni, he assumed the aspect of an ordinary person as a prince of King Siddhartha, King Yashoda, as a prince Siddhartha. And then he also assumed to have witnessed the different sides, very tragic sides, like a sick person, aging, death. And then eventually, having seen someone who is following an ascetic way of life or a monastic way of life, then eventually the Prince Siddhartha, he relinquished the royal life, and then he turned himself into a monk, and then he pursued through 6 years of serious meditation. And then eventually, in the place Bodh Gaya, he assumed to have achieved the highest state of enlightenment. So, after having achieved enlightenment, he instead of straight away giving discourses, he was examining as to who would be the right person, who would be the right disciple to teach the profound teachings. And then eventually, after realizing that they were actually the five intended disciples, he started giving discourses on the Four Noble Truths, which were indeed something which the former teachers had never taught. And it was the Buddha Shakyamuni who first taught this concept of the Four Noble Truths. And then eventually, he also then assumed the state of passing away. And even now, when we hear about this word, Gautama the Buddha, eventually we would naturally have a sense of faith, naturally have a sense of confidence in him. So although they are and they were various traditions, but in terms of the teachings of Bodhicitta and in terms of teachings of the other profound teachings, So even nowadays, in this very modern world, we see that everybody naturally comes to derive or naturally comes to arise in a sense of appreciation. No sooner they hear the word Buddha, the Gautama, the Buddha, or Buddha Shakyamuni. So the Buddha Shakyamuni, so he is assumed the achievement of full enlightenment when he was in his 30s. So if you really try to calculate as to how many years Buddha Shakyamuni actually have been engaging in the actions of Buddha's actions of benefiting other sentient beings, so we see that he achieved enlightenment in his 30s, and then he passed away in his 80s. So this means that it was only about like 40 or 50 years. But in terms of the causal conditions, the text or the literature says that he underwent three countless eons, immeasurable amount of time, for accumulating such an enormous amount of merit to culminate in the state of the Buddhahood. And then we see that all these enormous amount of merit, they were accumulated with the motivation of bodhicitta. And then if you reflect on in terms of the continuity of the mind of the Buddha, so we see that this ordinary mind of that person who is the original, who is actually the ordinary being of having the same continuum in terms of mind as the Buddha Shakyamuni, so that mind of that person, it continued at the point of Buddha Shakyamuni, until the point of Buddha Shakyamuni. And then here we see that this clarity aspect of the mind, the luminosity of the mind, is something that cannot be seized altogether. It will continue forever. And it is because of this characteristic or the attribute of the mind to never cease in terms of its luminosity, the luminous attribute of the mind. It is because of this that we can see the possibility of eradicating all kinds of obscurations or defilements from the mind. And then as said earlier in a previous teachings, that this very defilement of perceiving the two truths distinctly is actually the ultimate obscuration which hinders somebody from achieving the ultimate state of enlightenment. So through eradicating that obscuration which sees the two truths as distinct, so it is because of this that the spontaneously arising activities of the Buddha comes about through abandoning or through eradicating that obscuration which views the two truths distinctly. So, and in order to eradicate that kind of obscuration which views the two truths, the ultimate and the conventional truth distinctly, so we really need to first of all understand the selflessness of the mind or the emptiness aspect of the mind. And then while meditating on the selflessness or the emptiness aspect of the mind, so then that is actually complemented. So Buddha Shakyamuni then complement that kind of wisdom, meditation of wisdom, with the altruistic intention of bodhicitta, the desire to achieve enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. And then just said by Nagarjuna in his precious garland, that in whatever means and ways that I can can be of benefit to the sentient beings. May I be able to achieve that? May I be able to do that? So such kind of moving experience of bodhicitta and compassion, so that really complemented that wisdom which understands or which cognizes the emptiness of the mind. So so having done that, and then at the same time knowing the reality that these in terms of the subtle aspect, the subtleness of the mind and the subtleness of the wind, which serves as the mount to this wind, to this subtle mind. So these two being of the same entity, we can then possibly establish as to how the activities of the Buddhas can be spontaneous and also ever-pervading and all-pervading. So as such, while the Buddha Shakyamuni or those great beings, they were in the state of the Bodhisattvas. So their very powerful prayers, as what the Shantideva said in Bodhisattva Charyavatara, that as long as the space remain, as long as the sentient beings remain, may I too remain in order to dispel the mystery of the sentient beings. So, through the combination of such powerful prayer and a meditation on the wisdom of emptiness and so forth, so we see that these, with these causes, when they fully are gathered and ripened, then the spontaneous activities of the Buddha Shakyamuni, the Buddha, to benefit all sentient beings, comes about. So all the traditions of Buddhism in China, Taiwan, Korea, Tibet, and alike, so we see that actually we are the ones following the Sanskrit tradition of Buddhism. And then from that perspective, there's the mention of the four bodies of the Buddha, the truth body, and the body of the truth body of the Buddha, and the Buddha's body of the entity, and the Buddha's body of enjoyment, and the emanation body of the Buddha. So, through gaining confidence, through gaining understanding of the possibility of achieving these four different states of the Buddha, so you can then really envision how, if you yourself achieve the Buddhahood, that you would obtain such a capacity, such a power to benefit all other sentient beings spontaneously in an instant of time. One really needs to understand the possibility of not just having a blind faith in the existence of a Buddha, but rather through understanding, through knowing the reality first, and then complementing that with the different wisdoms, and also by the very powerful intention of bodhicitta, then you have to work out to see the possibility of having such a Buddha, having these four different bodies, and having the capacity to work for the welfare of all sentient beings instantly, and with all power. In short, having the three characteristics, the characteristic of omniscience, omnipotent, and omnipresent. So we really need to be able to establish that by view of your own reasoning, by view of reflection, rather than simply having belief in it. So the Buddhas, they have this unique characteristic or the unique quality of not wavering from being immersed in the meditation on emptiness. He can manifest in all diverse forms of manifestations.